show.
Welcome to Measure Drinks and Chill, and we have a special guest today.
And, yes.
Say what?
I feel like you can't call it that.
Yeah, but see, he's drinking pineapple juice.
Yeah. So it's still
so
technically
we're challenged. Still drinking and chilling. You know what I mean?
Right, man's kids and chill.
Yeah, man's kids and chill. Liam. Should I call you Liam? Poppy Liam? What should I call you?
I don't even care. Call me anything. But anything that just nothing bad.
Of course, I would never do that. I got too much respect for you and your mom.
Yeah.
And so, she's in the building too. I don't want anybody to think he's in here chilling. It's a totally
no.
Cool environment, right?
He didn't kidnap me. No,
nothing bad, right? What's up, Liam? How old are you? Let's start with that.
I'm 9, and I know it's real strange to be a 9-year-old in a podcast. Like, I know most people wouldn't be expecting that.
No, they're not going to expect that. I didn't even expect that. Like, but I was actually excited to speak to you. You know that?
Yeah.
Oh, you do know that. Look, so humble. He said, yeah, of course. Who isn't excited to speak to me?
But
what grade you in?
I'm in 4th, about to go to 5th. But on the topic of that, I'm doing about... I'm just about to grill school right now. I'm not gonna fry it, but like, I'm gonna lightly
a little saute it a little bit.
I'm gonna lightly sear it. So basically, I have this T-shirt.
Don't say what school you go to, and don't say the names. Okay.
Also, no hate if you ever find out my school, because like,
that's just
my experience. So like,
hold on.
The views and opinions you hear are totally of the guest, not Mez Drinks and Chill.
Go ahead. I just want to put that out there. Even though you're 9 years old, I got to protect myself, young boy.
Oh.
As he sips his pineapple juice.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, back to your school. What's up with school? Why you want to, what'd you say, lightly sear it?
Yeah.
Not fully fry it?
Yeah. My teacher at my school,
they're
all so unconsiderate. Like, most of the people there. Yeah. Honestly, they don't even care compared to the other schools I went to.
What you mean? How so? Give me an example.
Huh?
Give me an example.
Like, this school is not nurturing at all. I feel like they don't even take in your best interest. It's like they only come there for their paycheck. That's it.
Mm.
But for the other school, they actually nurtured you.
They care.
They actually cared. They really cared.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't just like they were trying to make ends meet or just trying to come there and then leave and stuff. Yeah. Like, they actually cared. And I think that's just not the case with public schools. And this is like my first public school. I'm always at charters or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, public schools need to be uplifted. Like, there's no, it's like,
what would you change if you could change
the first thing? Yeah. I could change is how the teachers act towards the kids and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean?
Yeah.
Because even if you don't care, you could at least act like it, put in some effort to like the children. Like, they're not putting any constant effort into that, and it's just like, it feels that even if you try to give a suggestion, there's like, stay in a child's place.
Yeah.
Or this doesn't matter, or you know.
Do you think there's too many kids in the classroom?
No, there's a few kids.
What's the
there's
average?
Like, there's only 10.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So you got more attention. That's good. Me growing up in my era, we had like 30 kids in the classroom. 32
yeah,
kids.
I've heard of that. My teacher, she said that's something that used to happen. So we're supposed to be grateful for that.
So you
barely have time
with your teacher.
Yeah, but honestly, this is worse, even though we have more attention time, you know?
How's it worse? Like, I would assume you have more time, like one-on-one time, you get the better attention and care.
See, it's not like that. It's how much, I would rather say it's about how many students are in the class.
Because
it depends if the teacher cares. You have to keep the kids engaged.
That's true.
You have to make them want to learn and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
If you're just going in there and just stating crap, not in a way you'll know they'll like it.
Do you feel you're learning in that classroom or no?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm learning something every day. I've learned new methods, but it's just things I could do any day of the week. I could learn, you know? And it's just like they have to constantly keep going over and over and over. It's like we're going in a repeated cycle and we're adding in new things here and there, but it's not anything that we can, like, it's not anything major that we really have to work for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like a quick job and it's done and you can go and you can leave. And
but like, you're ahead of your time too, so it's probably a lot easier stuff.
It's not very hard.
And it's harder to keep you engaged because it's like, I already know this stuff, or you catch on very fast.
And it's just like, if you look at the numbers and all that stuff, mm-hmm. It's easier to do it in your head. Like, these kids can't spell dog right. They can't.
Let alone, not even dog. You just play chess in your head versus sci-fi.
No. Like,
they but that's impressive.
They spell dog, B-O-G. Like, you don't even spell, that's bog. Like, you don't even spell dog like right. that. They can't even read full sentences without getting the teacher's help.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, like,
is that credit due to your mom? Because she prepared you very well?
I guess you can say that. Yeah. But, like, there are only two people in this class, maybe just one, honestly, he's on my level for sure. Yeah. His name is Ayu.
Don't say his name. We'll bleep that out. Don't worry. We'll bleep that out. We'll bleep that out. Don't worry about it. You're still a kid. You're going to make mistakes.
I'm
it's
so
all good.
Sorry.
Nah, ain't no big deal.
Oh.
We edit, so this isn't live. If it was live, we'd have been in trouble. Nah, I'm messing with you. But so maybe since school is not challenging to you, then is that how you started the Poppy Liam show?
I started the Poppy Liam show because, like, a few years back, it was just a way to show our daily lives and stuff like that. And honestly, I can't even explain how it turned into how it is right now. So I guess it was probably just an outlet for us to speak, speak about how our daily lives.
What is the Poppy Liam show?
The Poppy Liam show is about Liam.
Like
simply just about Liam.
Yeah.
Like, the Poppy Liam show has captured pretty much my whole life and, like, what I do. Like, you can see me asking questions to my mom while she's in the shower. I'll be home. She had this rug I used to lay on. It was so soft.
Yeah.
I just used to stay on it. I used to spin around in circles on the floor. And I just used to talk about how my day was.
Yeah.
Or
you express yourself.
Something like expressing myself. And then we kind of just built a branding off of it, kind of. Like, we kind of...
I enjoy your show and your content. Yeah, like, I like the food stuff that you do.
Oh, yeah. I love the food for the food and for the content as well.
Yeah.
And speaking of food, I actually got you a gift.
You got me a gift?
Yes. So you can open it up. It's some of my favorite snacks.
Oh, wow. What you got here.
If you could read it to him, that would be sick.
See, now you got me trying to read, and I've been, what is this?
It's called, so it's udon.
I was going to say udon, but I figured that's not how you say it. It's called udon?
Yeah, udon noodles from Costco. They are delicious. I mean,
really?
This company deserves a Grammy. They deserve an EGOT, honestly.
An EGOT. That's an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar,
and Tony.
Yeah,
they deserve all that. Like, that is just delicious. Reaching for the next
one. Oh, yeah. So the next one.
So those...
I'm going to guess is it Chinese letters or...
No, those are rice crackers.
Rice crackers.
They're so good. It just gives such an umami flavor, honestly. I mean, it is just so good. That right there...
I've heard of this.
That is the heavenly grail of all...
Bulldog?
Yes. Heavenly grail of all ramens, I swear to God.
Really?
I will eat that any day of the week. I can eat that for the rest of my life if you give it to me.
I'm going to eat this. This is for me. I can keep this stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, you can keep this stuff. Like, I'm not about to steal this from you.
This feels like I'm on an episode of Nardwar. I'm just opening up stuff. What is
another? That's my favorite seaweed too. So you can see that all my stuff is Asian based.
I see.
I love a lot of Asian food. It's just I don't know.
This is the most impressive stuff that I've gotten. Usually people just bring me alcohol, like I'm some type of drunk or something.
But
two of them. I appreciate this, man. This means a lot to me. Thank you very much.
It's some really good stuff.
Maybe we can eat these and do an episode or do a. What do you call it? Not a TikTok.
A
food review. I'm down for that.
I'd be too.
Really?
Maybe we could collab or something.
We definitely could collab. I'm definitely with that, Liam.
I'm so sorry. I just had to put this out. Sci-Fi has been playing with that thing in the sidelines this whole time.
What's that, the fidget spinner? Uh-huh. Is that what it's called?
He's been playing with that fidget spinner ever since he picked it up off the table.
You also are in ballet. You do ballet?
Yeah. There's a lot of... Oh, no.
You're a very interesting kid.
Ballet is really...
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm so sorry. I changed the subject way too quick.
Now you're good.
So, ballet is like a, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people have turned it into something it's not. A lot of people say it's for girls and stuff, and I honestly believe that for a while and still kind of believe it because, you know, mostly girls do it and mostly girls are shown when you think girls are thought of. You know what I mean? And it's not, and there's not a lot of publicity toward, you know,
and then when it is
male dancers and black male dancers.
Bingo. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And... You know, and whenever there are male dancers, they're, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Please.
The views and opinions you hear are totally of the guest, not Mez Drinks and Chill.
No, I'm not going to set you up for fear. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
They're of a different lifestyle.
Yes.
That's a nicer way to put it. Yeah,
that's a nicer way to put it. Yeah. So... With keeping that in mind, you know, that's the thing when it comes to a lot of people's heads and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Mm-hmm. As he takes a sip. It's funny because he's ahead of his time. Like, he speaks very well, but then still as a 9-year-old, he's still fidgeting around, moving around in his seat. And it's like, it's dope, man. You're very interesting. You always got a place. Anytime you got anything you want to do, come kick it with me here.
Okay.
How you liking that pineapple juice?
This is some bomb pineapple juice.
You
I'm
like it?
I'm not gonna lie.
And so, what else are on ballet? So, what all do you do? What's some of the moves? What are they called?
We'll do rondejambes, which is doing tendueing. You do tendu devant, which you'd say, which is to the front. Then you do an alisagone, and then you pull that back in to your other foot in first position, or you'd be in fifth position. You go devant two times, then you go alisagone two times.
Yeah.
Then on the first time when you're going alisagone the first time, you're going to pull the leg back behind the leg, so then it becomes first position with the left foot in front. Then you're going to go back out, and then you're going to put it back in front.
Yeah.
And then you put your hands into first position, I presume.
How often do you do it?
I do ballet. Shameless plug, but I'm doing Peter Pan, and you should buy tickets.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you playing in Peter Pan?
I would be a crocodile.
Really?
Yeah.
That's dope.
And, you know, it may seem like a small role, but, you know, it's still a really big accomplishment to even be, like, in the picture of a play or something like that. So.
Yeah. Where's the play at? Where can they find you?
Charlotte Ballet. It's at the Knight Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
when?
To go.
The Blumenthal? You mean, is that where it's going to be, the Blumenthal?
Maybe Blumenthal, maybe Night Theater. I don't even know.
Okay.
But I just know that I do ballet mostly the whole week. I do ballet Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays for this upcoming thing.
Yeah.
Then this summer, I'm going to be doing summer intensives. And then, and also, speaking of that, I have acting practice on Monday as well. So, like, my schedule isn't really like there's no time for shenanigans or crap like that.
Yeah.
And there's no time for that. A lot of people think it's shocking, but honestly, outside of doing everything I do, I'm literally just a 9-year-old. I'm just a 9-year-old.
Yeah. But you are ahead of your time. Like, I don't even feel like I'm talking to a 9-year old.
But then
there's sometimes where, yeah, I see you are 9 years old. But you play chess, right?
Oh, yes.
How good are you?
So, I'm pretty good at chess.
Yeah.
I'm not the best, though, and I have to be completely honest about that. I'm on a level, if I had to rate myself, mm-hmm. I could probably go for, like, 400 ELO. But I'm trying to rank higher, maybe for 700s or 1,200, like my brother did in a year.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of, that's my goal for the end of this year.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be working toward.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Sapphire's pretty good at chess. I would love to see y'all two play each other.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I know he'd probably win.
Yeah, you think so?
I just killed the apple juice. It is so good.
Pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice.
It's all good.
But
do you read books? Like, what do you do?
Yes, actually, I have this chess book. I wish I brought it with me. Yeah.
Because I don't know how to play chess. That would have been helpful.
I practice all these puzzles and stuff like that. I practice forks and all that stuff. And I just learned how to. I just learned how to do notations,
mm-hmm.
which I just learned how to do notations.
Yeah.
In chess. Which I'm going to start using in games more. Like, I'm going to start using... Because if I can do that, I can do chess. Once you have memorized how the pieces move and you memorize how the board looks, there's a certain moment where you can just start doing that in your head. Now, I don't know if that's, like a skill or something. But, like, me and Sci-Fi just now, we were kind of doing it in our heads and stuff. You know, he moved... It was a lot.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. I never heard nobody even ask somebody to play with just in their head.
Honestly, it's not even that hard of a concept to grasp. Honestly, I mean, you just have to be engaged and you really have to think about it. Because if you're trying to do two things at once, the way the pieces move will leave your mind.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it gets really confusing. And one thing I can't stress enough is board vision. Board vision is so important when it comes to chess, because if you don't see the board, you're only looking at, like, a chunk.
Yeah.
When there's the whole bigger picture, you know, toward it.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Now, what other books have you read?
Me?
Yeah.
So, Robert Greene is really a person that I keep coming back to if it's for information in a book. And
Robert Greene, the 48 Laws of Power.
Yes. So you made 48 Laws of Power, Mastery. I might read the 38 Laws of Human Nature. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, and the 50th Law. And that's probably what my next book is gonna be. Uh-huh. But. My favorite book, I was just wandering through the library, you know, looking for a title cover that I liked. Because whenever I'm looking for a book, I look for the title cover. And then that's how I base my opinion off of the book. So there's this book called A Caught a Witch. If you know, you know. It is one of the best books you will read.
Yeah.
I mean, I just really enjoy it. It really brings your attention to it, and I just kept coming back to it, and there was this other book I read. It was kind of like Brothers. I love the book so much. There was an author named Mike Lubica, and he made really good books as well.
Yeah.
These authors are people.
How'd you get into the 48 Laws of Power?
So. This is gonna shock you, but it was actually as a punishment.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good punishment.
Yeah, for sure. So, like how I started with NFTs,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, how I started with NFTs was actually a punishment as well. She made me research it, and I just...
Those are good punishments.
Yeah. And so I just got into it, and I started, you know, really starting to do it and stuff like that. And there's no different for the 48 Laws of Power.
Of your favorite laws?
So, conceal your intentions, you know.
Well, so speak about concealing your intentions. What does that mean?
Concealing your intentions is so important.
Yeah.
Because you want to lead people down the wrong path. Because if you're a murderer or a psychotic or a narcotic, I don't even know.
Yeah. or somebody who's just trying to...
Narcotics, which is actually not a person who's addicted to drugs. That'd be a drug addict, not narcotics, because that's just the drug. But...
but yeah,
if you're any of that type of stuff, you're a deranged serial killer, then you're going to want to conceal your actions because, like, the way to keep the cops or the police from knowing that you're doing these things, you have to make it to where
nobody knows anything you're doing.
You know what I mean? You have to actually cover up your traces, and you have to lead them to the wrong path, you know?
Yeah.
Whether that's lying and stuff like that. And so something you can take away from that is don't, even though it says conceal your intentions, don't be passive aggressive. My mom hates passive aggressive people.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate passive aggressive people. And I'm one of those passive aggressive people sometimes.
Yeah.
So
we all have times where you have to be that. Yeah.
And it's just like that. And you know, 48 laws of power.
What other laws? Like, what other laws do you have?
Guarding your reputation with your life. Reputation is everything, you know?
It is, yeah.
Because no matter how much notoriety you have that you've gotten from everyone, or not how much money you have, like, if people are always constantly going to be trying to come at you to bring you down, they're always going to try to do that.
Right.
So you have to pick and choose who you land to your circle, because if you land the wrong person, then you're gonna end up ruining your career.
Yeah.
And if you end up ruining your career, then you're gonna be the one to have the down. You're gonna be the one.
Yeah.
Having the drawbacks of what they did, and that person's probably not going to suffer a thing. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to pick and choose who you let in your circle, and if that means cutting off your family, then so be it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, though the laws are so brutal, and it's
knowing,
like,
the laws, you said,
knowing the laws. Knowing every single one of them, they're all so brutal, but. If you're looking for world domination or power, that's sometimes what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, you have
that's one of my favorite books, too, 48 Laws. Like one of my favorite laws is play a sucker to catch a sucker. Seem dumber than your mark.
Do
you know what that means?
Play dumber than your mark?
Yeah. Basically, it's like... Sometimes if you just act like somebody, if somebody thinks you're dumber than them, they pretty much will, you know, they won't, you get what I'm saying? Like, I want you to elaborate on that though. Cause you know, these are some of the laws that you.
So, definitely shut up.
Bingo.
You have to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Because even sometimes me, I ramble on and on and on about how intelligent I am, but that's really nothing if that can intimidate
people. Like, if somebody knows that, yeah.
You know, if you know that you're smart, you shouldn't have to prove that to people. And that's something I had to learn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I had to act to the point. I had to learn my place, honestly. Because.
Ooh, that's one of the other laws. Never outshine the master.
Yeah, yes.
Staying in your place, too.
Yes, yo. That is one of the laws you have to respect, because if you don't outshine the master, something is going to be able to find its way to the master. It's going to creep in slowly but surely, just like a pin in a haystack. The person is slowly coming toward the pin in the haystack. They're just going to come take the pin out. No more master. You're the master now. You know what I mean?
But
you just have to uphold them and wait for somebody to bring them down. You know what I mean? You have to build their structure and let someone unbuild their structure. You know, you have to let them demolish it.
But that also means, like, say even like in a sense of like you and your mom, right?
Yeah.
You never want to try to outshine your mom.
Oh, for sure not. And that's not even to make it to where she won't be able to do anything in the future. I'm upholding my mom to the point where she'll be safe and also to the point where she'll be able to do like what she'd like, and she'd have the freedom and power to do all that.
Yeah.
And I know not many people have that. You know, you never want to bring family into drama or things like that.
Right.
That's not something you want to do. Like, I have the best interest for all my family, and sometimes I don't agree with them, or sometimes I have to cut them off, or sometimes there's just things I have to do that involve family. But does that mean I ever stop caring about them? No, you don't. You feel me? If there's situations that are dire, that really isn't something you should stay around, then I'm not going to stay around
for
that.
Get out of there, for sure.
Like, there's an extent. You can go there, but there's an extent.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So another one of my favorites also was create compelling spectacles. Right.
How far have you written to the book?
I finished the whole book before.
Oh. Yeah,
this was like maybe 2009 or 10, something like that.
So what'd you say? Create what?
Create compelling spectacles. Basically means, it's basically to we talked about earlier, like you have to do stuff that's going to draw you attention, right?
Yeah.
So like, do you remember when, who was that? One of them name brands that had the t-shirts with the black kid on there that said, he had a shirt that said, coolest monkey in the jungle. Do you remember that shirt?
Oh, no, I don't.
So what happens is you do that, right? Mm-hmm. That's creating a spectacle. That's not an accident that they did that to me. That's something that they do on purpose, right? Because everybody sees that, they're going to be offended. Everybody's going to talk about it. So what you do is you're creating literally
attention.
Like, and it's just the biggest spectacle you could do. But what everybody does is they say, have you seen that on the website? Like, it's on the website.
And it brings attention.
Bingo. And everybody's going to the website. Everybody's looking at it, sharing it.
And then there's people like, you know, the racist people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you feel me?
Yeah.
And they're going to start buying that stuff because they hear that's what's going on. And that's just going to create more controversy here and there.
Attention. Because they say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Because all publicity, once people start talking about it, they go into the website, now they can charge more for, like, advertisers and stuff and, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Traction.
And also, one thing I believe that is very prominent in 48 Laws of Power is people keep coming back. You know, like, Robert Greene, he kind of twists and turns it to show you the differences. Like, some laws are the same as others and some aren't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some of them tie in the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, the 48 Laws of Power is just a string of laws mixed together that create the same meaning.
Yeah, power. A lot of them do blend. Yeah,
and I've actually been reading Mastery, and Mastery is really good. If you guys have not read Mastery, you guys really should read Mastery.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, Mastery is so good. So. He talks about going against the grain in that book, and that's just going against what our ancestors have worked so hard for. Since primates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He calls that going against the grain when you try to use technology or think outside of what your primates did, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes all it takes is to think like them to succeed. You feel me?
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, you know, it's just like, it's a whole lot of stuff. And it's kind of like.
What about, so I think you also told me before, one of your favorite ones was keep your enemies close.
Yes. Keeping your enemies close is important because if you have friends, they'll feel like you've let them into your circle.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're not going to know where the boundaries are. If you have a bully or someone like that, you have to keep giving them that boundary. Like, bro, stop. Like, get out of my face. Like, leave me alone. You feel me? You have to keep pointing out those boundaries. And it's just like, they don't know where you hold them. And I had this bully we'll just call him JR right now. Because, right. like, because I'm not about to say his name, like I accidentally did a few earlier. But we'll just call him JR. So me and JR, we aren't friends, but the thing is, though, every single time we always found our way back to each other or something, like, you know what I mean? Like a water spigot. Someone's always gonna come back to get some water from the water spigot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't know if it's gonna run dry, if we're gonna become friends, but we just know that sometimes we come back to each other and we're kind of meshing with each other, you feel me?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that's how it works. Like I'm not even going to lie. Like, they have more to prove to you than a friend would. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And that's why.
That's one of the laws, too. It says something about, I can't remember which one it is, but it's like an enemy has more to prove to you or something like that. I can't remember the exact, but then a friend does. So you could basically, you know, because they're trying to get back in your good graces, so they'll go above and beyond to get back in your good graces than a friend would, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're also with the thing that says keep your enemies close, that does, like, from my understanding, that means, like, if you know somebody doesn't like you, is capable of hurting you, you should keep them close, as far as, like, you should know everything about them.
Because if you keep them close, like, going off what you just said.
All right, so, like, let's just say I'm working a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, 15 of us, right? But I know one person doesn't like me, and they'll probably do things to get me fired. Like, what you do is you keep them close. Like, you know, if you might bring them coffee. Like, do things to just keep them close, to keep them, you know, to keep them on your good side, in a sense. You know what I mean?
And, you know, that's important, because keeping your enemies close, they'll serve you. Like, if you have a friend, but he's weak and he serves you, you're most likely going to die. But if you have an enemy, he's strong, he's buff, he got all that, he's the man, you should hire him, because...
Yeah, no bingo. You're right, 100%.
You know?
That way he'll, you know, you just keeping him on your side, basically.
Exactly.
That's like, do you watch sports?
Huh?
Do you watch sports, like basketball and stuff? Yeah. Are you familiar with who Patrick Beverley is?
No.
So he's one of those guys like Matt Barnes, those kind of guys, I would pick him on my team first, because they are like the kind of...
They're strong.
And they know how to get people off their game and stuff. So I would rather them be on my team than me have to go against them. Mm-hmm. In a sense, so that's like, I will pick them first. That's how you keep your enemies close. Get what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think something that really ties into that is win through action, never argument. That's so important.
100%.
Because winning through your actions is important. Now, I have a story for that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking about, they said... It was talking about this man, and he was this really good. He was a really good sculptor, you know.
Yeah.
And his sculptures were just
on point.
Beautiful, right? So they had this big diamond rock, and they didn't know what to do with it. So they called him over. He picked up his chisel, started working on it. Right. I think it was the mayor or something, but he said he didn't like the nose. So, carefully, he said, okay, I'll change it for you. He picks up the chisel, picks up a little bit of the dust, just a little bit, just a tiny bit of the dust. He starts pretending like he's chiseling, but dropping some of the dust as well. Exact same thing at the end, and he was making it look like he was actually doing it. So, then the guy says, wow, looks so much better. Beautiful.
And he didn't even change nothing.
He didn't change nothing.
Yeah.
And that can just tell you how fake people can be, how people make you want to change your design, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. So he didn't even argue back and forth with him. He just acted like he was doing something.
And then there's this architecture guy also in the story, and he was very good. His builds were like 100% spot on. And he said, just add some pillars, you know, just to uphold it. And he was like, but they don't need it. But instead of arguing, he said, you know what? All right, I'll do it. He takes his design. He stops it right at the ceiling, just right at the ceiling, to where it looks like it's a pillar, but there's nothing there. No one found out until like 10 years later, and some college students were there, and they finally noticed. But you know what I mean? like winning through actions and never argument.
Yeah.
You have to make the other person happy while keeping yourself happy as well. You feel me?
Right.
Like if you're making the other person happy, but you're doing something you don't like, then what does it really mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? What does it really mean at that point?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
So do you create your own content? Like when you do that, like do you have your own ideas or does your mom help you with it? How does that go?
So actually, we don't necessarily pick and choose what we do.
Wait, what's the name of your your page on Instagram?
Poppy Liam Show.
How you spell it?
PAPILIAMSHOW.
Poppy Liam Show.
Yes, Sirski. Mm-hmm. But shameless plug. But
ain't nothing wrong with that. We want that page to blow up because it's entertaining.
Yes. Yeah. So, like I was saying, sometimes we'll just go out in the day and we'll pick, whenever we're eating out or something like that, you know what I mean? We'll just pick it. We'll pick and we'll decide, oh, this is a good thing to do some content on.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And so if we do something like that, then we'll just review off that, or we'll have like something we'll choose on the next day, or if it's to help the company out.
What is your favorite food that you've had recently? What's the top three foods?
Top three?
Yeah.
So, Hawkers. Mm-hmm. See that bag right there? That's where I got it from. Hawkers, definitely a really good place to go because I love... There's this Tom Yum Ramen. It has this lemongrass broth. It is so good. and it's vegan, too. It's really good. Like, honestly, I would eat that. I could eat that.
Wait, are you vegan?
No, actually. Oh. No.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
What else? What else do you like?
Second, actually, that's going to be going my second. But my first definitely has to be kimchi. I love kimchi. Kimchi is, like, so good.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
So kimchi is fermented cabbage.
Yeah.
And fermented cabbage is really delicious. And you can make it spicy or non-spicy. I love mine spicy. Extra spicy, actually.
Really?
It's very good, and it has, like, it's just so good. Yeah. I could eat it a lot.
What else? What's the third?
One time I had it for, like, a month straight, honestly. A month straight, nothing else.
That's a long time.
Yeah, a month straight.
What's your third?
My third has to be my mom's soul chicken.
Yeah.
It is so good. She makes, like, the sauce with gochujang and stuff like that. And, you know, we base most of our food off of, like, Asian stuff. So, like we go to the Asian market to get all the stuff we get.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, like, the average Americans just going to the store just to get that. And if we are, then it's for, like, you know, stuff you'd have in your house. But most of the time, it's not even that.
Yeah.
It's usually just Asian stores and stuff like that. We base most of our food off of that. And, you know... That's something that's really prominent in our household.
Yeah.
That's something we like to eat. That's something we like to do and all that.
So what do you do for fun as far as, like, what about TV? Do you watch TV? What do you watch? What shows are you watching?
So the shows I watch?
Yeah.
So I would like to watch a lot of shows.
Are you into anime and stuff?
I love anime. Anime is the best.
Really?
So there's a show called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I just got into the manga of it because they have not... I actually read the manga. I did the whole series manga, and I did the whole series motion picture. I like the motion picture, but manga's really good, too. And so Part 7 hasn't been animated yet, so I've been reading Part 7 recently, and I'm about to get into 8, and I'm trying to catch up to 9, because JoJo Lands just got out, and I'm looking forward to watching that, but... Besides that,
I like to watch
a lot of psychological stuff like American Psycho. That's definitely it's a good show. I mean, good movie.
Yeah,
definitely.
I know what you're talking about.
Queen's Gambit. That's a chess show, and I'm trying to watch this Bobby Fischer.
Oh yeah,
this Bobby Fischer documentary that I've been looking forward to. But I haven't really had...
He was huge in chess, right?
Oh, yeah. He was definitely huge in chess. But he died of kidney cancer. Manz was really like the GOAT in chess. Yeah. Like, his last game was crazy. It was so good, crazy good.
How fast does he finish?
Fast? So I don't think he played blitz chess.
Oh, he didn't?
I don't think he played blitz.
Blitz is when it's timed, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't think he played blitz or bullet chess.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he played modern chess, where, like, it's timed, like, but you get 30 minutes or hour.
Yeah.
So he wasn't the type to do that. But I do know that he did create chess 390, which is where your whole file is randomized except for the king and queen's places. That's the one. Bobby Fischer invented this, and chess has been using it ever since. He said it gave more space for, you know, creativity.
Yeah.
And, you know, for more things to be involved, you know, for more things to happen instead of just the average openings, like, you know, literally like the Queen's Gambit, yeah, or, you know, the Sicilian Defense or the Sicilian Dragon, you know, things like that. Yeah. And, you know.
See, this is all new to me because I don't know nothing about chess, but I'm sure people who listen to this might know, so they might enjoy it. I don't know anything that you're talking about right now, but I do appreciate the information. I'll definitely, now you got me wanting to watch the Bobby Fischer documentary, because I watched the movie when I was young, but I'll watch that documentary. It's out already?
Yeah, I think it's on HBO Max.
I got that. I'm going to have to check that out.
And so, that's, I've just been into chess a lot lately. Because chess has been something.
That's good, because most kids usually just play sports. Do you play sports?
No.
No sports at all?
I guess ballet counts as a sport and that. But
on the average, like, you know, basketball, football, soccer, baseball, none of those games?
None of that. I mean,
I like what you're into, man. I like the sport. I like the chess and everything.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. You enjoy yourself?
Yes, sir.
Did?
Yes.
We got to do something, a collab, some type of collab on your Poppy Liam show.
And
down for that?
Yeah.
That's what's up, man.
We have to do it, because I know you do Swallow Eats too. So I know I want to do something like that.
What is that?
Swallow Eats.
What's that?
That's you, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not Swallow.
No, you just plug somebody else. Totally.
Oh, no.
That's all good.
No, you're not Swallow. No. You're not Swallow.
Facts. But Swallow was there when we did the podcast.
Swallow was there. Yeah, but we have to do a food review or something. You have to make something. Like, we have to get all three of you guys. Like, you, we'll have to get you.
The bigger the collab, the better, man.
Yeah.
We all need each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Yes.
Where can they find you at again?
Poppy Liam Show, PAPPILIAMSHOW.
And y'all know where to find me at, Mez Drinks and Chill for the podcast, or Mez Black Label for the personal page. And we out of here.
Peace.
Peace.